and gentlemen, buckle up for the six. It's the Apropos of Nothing
you
podcast.
You didn't even wait.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Oh, my.
Hey, James, what are we drinking?
Dr. Tiki, Dr. Tiki, Dr. Tiki.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not, if you don't know what a Dr. Tiki is by this point in time, you have not been paying attention.
It could be their first one.
Well, then they haven't been paying attention because we've been going for 375 episodes.
Jesus Christ, have we really?
Yeah.
We're old.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, James isn't, but we are.
Oh, yeah. No,
you're older than I am.
We've been doing this for forever.
Look, I've only been doing this for 325 episodes, so fuck off.
Fair enough. we've been doing this for 7-8 years or something like that. So if they haven't figured out what a Dr. Tiki is by now,
Dr. Tiki.
Get with the program, people.
Dr. Tiki. Dr. Tiki.
But in case they're, you know, Matt.
Let us know. May he rest in peace.
Let us know what a Dr. Tiki is.
It is a can of Dr. Pepper filled up the rest of the way with Kahlua.
Yeah, it is.
It's
also done in bottles.
Just one way. Yeah. Oh, you can do that in a bottle, too.
That's what I did for Fest last year. That's why I always had a Dr. Pepper bottle with me. thought I was sober.
No.
No. No, you're smarter than that.
I just thought it was my fault.
Man, I had the booze box.
I am the reason that you drink, so that's fair.
No.
I am part of the reason that you drink.
You're the reason I don't stay sober. There's a difference.
Fair enough.
Oh, my goodness. So, yay, Dr. Tiki. I'm going to drink some because booze. Oh, that still tastes like a Dr. Tiki.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Also, dear listeners, when you are making a Dr. Tiki or you say the word Dr. Tiki, you must chant three times.
Indeed.
Dr. Tiki, Dr. Tiki, Dr. Tiki. Three is the number to which you should count.
Five is right out.
That. Thank you.
Thou shalt not count to four.
Two.
Yeah. Unless continuing on to three.
Unless thou proceedeth with.
Yes,
Don't quote Monty Python and the Holy Grail on me incorrectly, motherfucker. I will end you.
Don't you quote the regulations at me.
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's Futurama. How bureaucrat Hermes Conrad got his requisitioned his groove back, something like that. Yeah, it's
that's delightful.
Yes, it's one of my favorite episodes because it includes the bureaucrat song, which is fucking amazing.
Do you know? Okay, so Disney puts out a bunch of straight to DVD movies.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was part of the Disney Movie of the Month Club for Jessa growing up.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of straight
for
to DVD.
For Jessa. Sure.
I mean, also me, but it was mostly for me because even if it was for Jessa, she was distracted long enough to where I could get shit done. So that was also for me.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the, I don't think it aired in theaters, but one of the straight to DVDs, to my understanding, or at least sequels, was Kronk's New Groove.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen that. It's wonderful.
I kind of like it better than The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah? I think it's really
it's
good.
It's more heartfelt. It's more touching in certain ways. Emperor's New Groove, the Emperor just annoyed me, and I really didn't care.
Yeah.
Until he had his moment of, oh, I'm learning things. But Kronk, he's just a nice guy in the entire movie, and I just felt bad the entire time. And I'm like, oh, Kronk, you poor thing. Stop pretending. Just be you.
Squeak and squeaker.
Squeak and squeaketh. Squeak.
That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Kronk speaks Skrull, by the way.
Uh-huh.
In case you guys didn't know. Plus, Kronk got a love interest, and that was super sweet.
That is really
sweet. Oh, they were so perfect for each other. Reminded me kind of like Tarzan.
Yeah.
Like Jane and Tarzan was kind of similar in a lot of ways to
I can see that.
Love interest whose name I don't remember right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just kind
clearly
of
clearly one for the ages.
Awkward but nerdy but still delightfully charming kind of a thing. Yeah. It was lovely.
Delicious Dr. Tiki.
Dr. Tiki. Dr. Tiki. Dr. Tiki.
If I seem a little distant, it's because I'm on call right now and I'm in the middle of working on a case.
Sucker.
So there is that.
He's on the case.
Hey guys, what you been up to? I've been up to I got a haircut. I got a haircut.
Who did the haircut?
A fabulous, and I mean that in every case of the word, the fabulous Justin Link.
Indeed.
Who we know for many reasons. One of them is he works out at the Renaissance Festival.
Yes.
And has for many years he works at the Levine Leather. And he is also a hairdresser in real life. And...
And like for realsies,
yeah,
like,
like
that's, it's not his superhero persona, although it could be.
I mean, with his abilities, that he right. could definitely be a superhero because yeah. he is fucking fantastic. He really is. He took a good solid foot off of my head.
Was it solid? Because you should check to how you're taking care of your hair.
Look, I take a bath once a month, whether I need it or not.
Gross.
Under the hose,
yeah. Of filth.
You shower with a filth hose?
Don't you?
I mean...
And only at Fest.
Anyway.
Seems accurate.
No, he took a lot off. My hair is now shoulder length. And unlike the last time I got it done, like, I wasn't very clear last time in what I wanted when I went to the hairdresser.
Sure.
And they gave me what I told them to give me, but I hated it.
Okay.
Like, I walked around desperately hoping that it would grow out.
Did you just walk around going, like, I'd like a haircut?
It just, no, well, I didn't grow
so
my
hair. So there was a guy with a cardboard sign, we'll cut hair for free.
I didn't grow my hair out until I had graduated from high school, and ever since then, it was just let it grow.
Yeah,
I didn't get it cut. So when the last time I actually, which is like only the second or third time I've ever gotten it cut since I had a buzz cut. So I didn't have the vocabulary at the time to say this is what I want. And so what they gave me was awful. It wasn't bad because it was bad. It was bad because it's not what I wanted and I hated it.
Sure.
Whereas this time around, I was more comfortable with him because I knew him. And so I could have a more casual conversation about what it was I was looking for.
Yeah.
And B, I also had a little better idea in my own way of describing what I wanted.
Right, yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah, he fucking nailed it. Like, just on the head. Like, I love my hair.
Because, like, a good haircut is 50% what other people think. And what I will say is that, like, your last haircut...
I could give a rat's ass what other people
think. No, I understand that about you. We've met.
But the rest of us that have to look at you.
Right. No, what I will say is, like, Salsa's last haircut wasn't bad for his face. Like, it didn't look bad on him. I've grown accustomed to Salsa's face.
Yes.
But then, but the other half of it is how you feel with that haircut. And if you feel like shit, then it's not a good haircut
for you. For me, it's 99% how I feel.
No, I understand, honey.
Yeah, but for the rest of us, it's 99% how we feel about it.
But this is my story.
Imagining how you look with a buzz cut makes me feel irpy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
No, here's the thing. No, this is the thing about this.
That would also be pre-facial hair.
So I come from my oldest brother was in the Marines, my next brother was in the Army, my next brother was in the Navy, like, my dad was in the Army, like, that. We've got some military people, and growing up, all of us, we were farmers, and we all had buzz cuts, that's just the way things work.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so, like, after I finally grew my hair out, you know, from mostly my cousins especially, I got a lot of those cut your hair, you hippie comments and stuff like that, and my oldest brother, the one who was a Marine... Like, the hard-assest of the hard-ass in the military. Like, my brother saw me, and at this point, my hair was longer than my shoulder. It was about between my shoulder blades. And he was like, he made some comment about cutting my hair, and he goes, not too much. Just down to the shoulders. You look a lot better with longer hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, he's saying,
what?
Exactly, that's how bad I look with short hair.
I believe this. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at your head structure and your very tall forehead.
I
don't think that's a receding hairline thing. It just is a very tall forehead.
And
I'm like, yeah, that, nope.
My wife has seen my high school yearbook photos.
I'm going to go ask her to show me right now.
Honestly, the woman from the Florida thing, What's her name? Emma?
The young woman with the buzz cut.
Like, I looked a lot like she does.
No, she's pleasant.
No. She looks amazing. I'm just saying, like, the shape of the head and the ears and stuff. Like, take my face and
No, I don't want to do this. I'm no longer a part of this game. She looks fantastic. Her nose is way better than yours. Okay.
What I'm saying is my face is what fucked everything up.
Okay. No, that's fair. I get that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, okay. This is not a disrespect at all against her. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, we were starting
enough to get mean
things have been said about her.
No.
All right, Mr. NRA.
Wow.
I think this is the first time Salsa's been, like, vividly upset with me.
I got a haircut, and it's fantastic, and you should go see the Justin link.
Oh yeah. Yeah, moral of the story is
also I'm gonna pause for a second. I'm sorry I called you Mr. NRA. It was in the heat of the moment. I apologize. I suck as a human being. Nobody should ever be called Mr. NRA except for Mr. NRA.
Is there a Mrs. NRA?
Yes.
Is it kind of like Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head?
Mrs. NRA, by the way, is wearing an America flag bikini. And holding an AK-15.
And she's also wearing a blazer over, like, a red...
Oh, yeah. Like...
Red blazer.
Yeah.
Over that.
Yep.
With...
She's blonde, by the way,
in case you're curious. With camo panels under the arms, like, between the front
and
the back.
Well, now I feel like you're mixing... Like, okay, so an American flag bikini top. So you've got, right, like, the blue and the stars on the right side, and then the red and the stripes on the other side.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a very clear picture of this.
Because I can see that with, like, some high-cut denim jean type thing, like Daisy Duke right. shit going on.
Yeah.
And then, like, a camo blazer type thing. Like, I could see that.
Yeah, like a blazer, what, blazer with, like, Republican red lapels.
Ew.
Yeah, and the rest of it is camo, or it has
I
camo
under
the...
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Okay. There's that.
That happened.
Yay.
Well, like, a friend of mine is super into hunting, and...
I'm sorry. Actually, I'm kind of okay with hunting in general. I just...
Hunting what? If I may.
Well, one friend is into deer hunting, because it's just a family tradition, and he uses the meat and everything like that, and it's...
Yeah, I mean, nice. Use all the parts.
Yeah. Also, he makes an outstanding venison chili.
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
And then another friend is into duck hunting. Not
like Washington?
Not Duck Washington.
Okay.
No, that's awful.
That was going to get real racist real quick.
Yeah, I don't want to think about
Kay.
It. No. I spend like 95% of my time being worried about my friends anyway. I don't need that kind of stress. Neither do they. But then the thing is, his dad was really huge in the duck hunting community and started a number of organizations for like disabled veterans who want to go hunting, but there aren't boats to accommodate people in wheelchairs, but he figured that out and created a foundation to assist people with that kind of thing. So, right. And also invented a ton of stuff to make hunting safer and better for the environment and to preserve hunting environments and things like that.
I have to see if there's still a video of Bill's duck hunting joke.
I would like to see it.
Yeah, I don't know if there is, and that makes me really sad. But the premise is he was watching a duck hunting show.
Yeah.
And there was this guy that was doing, like, he had a duck whistle and a duck decoy and a duck, like, whatever, and duck urine. He's like, I don't think you really need the duck urine. Like, I feel like that was his weird thing. Like, just put it all over you. yeah.
Really rub it in.
He's like, I don't think you need any of that. I think all you need is a loaf of bread and a hammer.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. Huh. And a dog to laugh at you if video games have taught
me
anything.
Oh, that would be delightful. I feel like I can tell Bill's jokes now because like 50% of them are mine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, 100% now that he's gone. Right.
I feel like his family gets a couple.
Oh, that's fair.
I mean, we were divorced at the time, so...
Yeah, but you get first pick.
Mm-hmm. I was going through my Dropbox not Dropbox, the Google Drive.
Oh, the Google thing. Drive, yeah.
Just cleaning it out because there was a lot of crap in there. And I was trying to organize things around for Die Laughing.
Sure.
So I could actually find it as opposed to
I get that.
Having shit randomly all over the place. And I stumbled across a paper that I had written when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I had interviewed Bill.
My Bill?
Yeah.
Oh.
In college?
When I
oh, the, when the other was, time you when, went to college.
Yeah, the
okay.
second time I was in college.
I was not confused the first time for was, a second. I'm like, what the
good,
shit?
The good time I was okay. in college.
Oh. That makes way more sense. I got
when
confused
I
on timeline.
I got a degree.
Like, okay, yes. Continue.
But it was for an English class, and I was writing on performing, and we needed to have sources and stuff like that. So I interviewed Bill for that paper, and I was like, oh.
What was the paper on?
It was on why, kind of the roadblocks that performers, especially live performers and artists, I guess, of all sorts, okay. Stumble upon in our society as far as how they're perceived, their perceived value
oh,
in the
sure.
society.
Oh.
Whereas, you know, the whole, you're an artist, okay, but what's your fallback plan? You
right.
know, you want to be an artist? Why don't you, you know, go to school for computers just in case or something like that?
It's sure.
like
that was my entire welfare experience,
yeah,
but I was also on welfare, so
yeah. But that whole implied both passively and overtly
sure.
that art is not as valuable as
right.
Oh, you should send that to
else.
Me. I want to read. I don't think I've ever read it.
I
want to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I was like I said, I just kind of skimmed through it and I got to my references page at the back and like on the very bottom was like Bill personal interview and I was like oh,
aww. I was cleaning my Google Drive a while back and I came like obviously I have 18 million Bill things but
sure.
I came across the Young and Fearless folder,
oh,
which had each show because this is how. Organized I am. Like I had uh-huh. just the show folder and inside of Young and Fearless as a production I had a folder for each show
mm-hmm.
and inside the folders for each show I had folders for promotion
mm-hmm.
and sketches script.
Oh.
And yeah, so I've got fucking a couple of years worth of Young and Fearless just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like I opened the first one, I'm like, oh, Day at the Park. That was our first one.
Oh.
Like, right? Just like, oh. And then also like a bunch of headshots that I did of him.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, shortly before we split. So,
hmm.
you know, like accurate ones.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, well, he got a lot of good use out of that, didn't he? Sad.
Oh.
oh. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Something so not depressing. Please go.
The friend that. Is like deeply inculcated in hunting culture and things like that,
oh, yeah.
and lived out in the middle of nowhere, and then moved to the middle of a different nowhere. He had a pink and camo wedding, which, as much as I know, it's a punchline. I understand.
But, like, I mean, dude, if it's your thing, it's your thing. Like, I actually
but, yeah.
kind of have a hard time judging that because, like. I've officiated a few Renfair
yeah.
weddings, so like
sure.
fucking yeah. whatever your thing is, just right. go for it. Like, yeah, have at.
But I looked at the picture of those two, like her in her wedding dress, him in like the vest that's pink sides, camo front, that kind of thing, and
right.
they're happy.
Right, exactly.
And that's great.
Fucking, yeah.
But I am also like halfway between that and Mrs. NRA is Republican Jesus. Have you seen Republican Jesus?
Which one? I've seen a few variants.
What would Republican Jesus do? The poster,
Kay.
And it's like a dude with slightly longish hair, but very clean cut beard and that kind of stuff, like highly professional looking, with the blazer over the robes. And then also holding like an M16.
Oh.
It's good. It to me that's funny.
That makes me sad. Like, I mean, like, yes, that's also funny. Don't get me wrong, but it's so sad. Like, that's not what the whole thing was about with the Jesus and the loving your neighbor and fucking not shooting people and fucking. Anyway, it angers me on a personal level sometimes.
Uh-huh. The one I saw was I gave you the Beatitudes, but you only quote Leviticus.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Boom.
Like, Jesus wasn't even around, like, on Earth, at least, for Leviticus. Yeah. What the shit?
I had kind of a deep conversation with a prior host of this show. May he rest in peace.
Which host would that be?
On a road trip. Matt Alex.
Sure.
And I.
He was never a host of this show.
That's fair.
I am going to gaslight the shit out of you until you forget.
He was an anchor. He was an anchor to this boat.
He kept us grounded?
Kept you from getting where you wanted to go. I don't know. Dead weight? Is it?
Ballast? Look, he served a purpose.
Ballast?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So,
did you just make yourself sad?
A little. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and appropriately, we were on our way back from a funeral.
Sure.
A dear friend of the show lost her father, who is also...
She didn't lose him. She knows where he's at.
Well, okay, that's true. Yeah. But it was... brought to mind, number one, because of the conversation in the car, and number two, because of something that happened during the service, which was that the pastor took time away, for better or worse, time away from the...
I did too.
From the service to talk about... to talk about what she wanted to talk about, which was that everybody needed to be a member of that church. And
butts and pews and fucking that bullshit.
And, and at one point saying, now that you're orphans... And there was an audible gasp.
Right.
And I don't know. But that aside...
Right.
The parts around that were
awkward, condescending.
No, it was
guilting.
Good. Aside from that,
okay.
Lots of very touching personal stories.
Okay.
Lots of love. Lots of laughing.
Nice.
A lot of laughing about farts and
yes,
and the shitting of one's pants and that kind of thing, which
excellent
is phenomenal, and sharing of memories and that kind of stuff, which was exactly I think what people were hoping for.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I got from friends of ours that were there. I honestly thought it was closer and did not verify the location before it was too late for me to get there.
Yeah.
So I felt really bad I missed it. But yeah, like I heard back from a lot of people that were able to make that, and they were like, it was laughter and stories, man.
Yeah.
Just laughter and stories. So I think one person said, I have never laughed so hard at a funeral.
That is 100% true.
Yeah. I believe that, and that is perfect.
Yeah.
That is absolutely perfect.
Well, because, like, aside from people saying, you know, that this person was incredibly giving and
right.
kind, funny was...
Mm-hmm. Top of the fucking thing. Yep. I remember the one night that we were at Brent Lake Bowl after a show, and he stole a concession lady costume.
Yes.
And
I was talking about this,
and he made us laugh so hard I was sore the next day.
Yeah,
like the next day I was like, well, I'm not doing sit-ups today, am I?
No like, and Justin Link, who cut Salsa's hair, has a photo of him
Yes, in that costume?
In the costume.
Oh, my God.
With the condoms in his mouth.
Oh, God, yes, yes. Oh, this pleases me to no end.
Yeah.
So anyway, you were having a conversation with Matt Alex on the way back from
this. Yes, yeah, yeah, about religion and marriage, very especially marriage. And
with Matt? He's got some experience.
I was going to say, yeah, and Matt actually, I was like, yeah, not that you know anything about marriage at all and the legality around it, but it was especially because he tends to be more, I guess, practical and logical about that kind of thing than emotional.
Sure.
When it comes to especially the legality
things. The legality portion of it, which makes sense to me, honestly.
He was talking about why it would be better if people could just, everyone would agree that nobody gets married. And that it's just like there's a civil ceremony that links you legally, and that any emotional or religious connotations or anything like that, you supply yourself in your own life.
Sure.
Which,
I mean,
was an option for a bunch of people for a while.
Right. And that's the thing. Like back then, I was like, sure. You know, I would support civil unions if that was the only option for everybody.
For everybody, right.
Right? Like, I'm fine with keeping the legal and the spiritual separate. Because you only need the part that you need.
But then I was listening to an episode of The Moth, and one of their recent episodes today, and somebody was talking about how he and his husband got married once it was legal, but after they found out that his husband had, or husband-to-be, had ALS.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it.
So there's this story.
Sorry, I do American Sign Language, so sure, ASL and sure. ALS. Right. Like, yeah, I always have to, like, back up in my brain, like, oh, okay, it's the disease.
Lou Gehrig's disease, yeah. And the story reminded me that, like, yes, in a society that is purely logical, that has no superstition or no real emotion to it regarding that type of commitment, great, that would work potentially, but human beings are not like that.
They're not. I think that we specifically in America have a very strong tie to love and marriage, like there's a whole song about that or something. But
what's it called?
It's called Doot 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 Doot. Oh, I know. It's the one that people are constantly Googling for.
Yeah.
What's that song that goes do 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 do?
You were saying.
Anyway, but like back in the day, it was a political thing. Like in Europe, like as the definitions of marriage change, so do what we apply to it and how we perceive it. Like, I think that in America, and thanks Disney, but we definitely have this very strong feeling that a marriage should be love-based. I don't know that that's always accurate.
Right.
I feel like it can be accurate, and frankly, if I do ever get married again, I want that to be accurate. But that's not, like, some people get married for a green card, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you gotta do legally.
There was a movie about that.
Or insurance, like... Yeah, I know several marriages that are insurance-based or whatever. So, like, there's a part of me that's in agreement. Like, yeah, just have a legal ceremony and then fucking whatever else on top of it. Like, I'm kind of for that because then we're not trying to coerce people into externally defined definitions of what their marriage should be.
Well,
before my wife and I got married, we did have a conversation about, you know, the fact that we would work well as a partnership in, like, raising kids and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, that was a legitimate factor that we talked about.
Which should be. Like, if those are your plans, you should talk about those things ahead of time. Holy shit.
Yeah. But it was...
Suddenly, I don't want kids. What the fuck?
But like, not even that. Just
but just
the way,
how
you
and
know,
the... Yeah. No, I agree. I was going to an extreme.
And my wife did, you know, she told me straight up, she isn't like, how do I say this that doesn't... She's
roses and chocolates?
She's not a romantic in the same way?
Well, she is, she but is. She doesn't... I am not her type.
Okay.
I don't know that you're anybody's type, but well done.
To be fair.
Okay.
To be fair. but, like, she does, like, when, I mean, you know, there's that whole, like, you should just look at them and hear choirs of angels and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, I'm not, I don't get, like, when I look at you. Like, that's
right.
That's just not a thing. But we work well together. We're, you know, mentally, we're in the same place, you know, politically and like as far as raising kids and stuff like that, and we work well together and we're good friends and all of these things.
You have a relationship that is much more to me like a couple that has already been married for 20
and that's
years,
not to say she
years.
Doesn't that's not to say that she doesn't find me attractive. It's just not that, like,
she at least finds you attractive enough for two kids.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. But it's like, but it's not that, like, you know, see you across the room and must tear my clothes off type thing. Like, that's just, it's never been like that.
Sure.
It's always been we're really good friends. We get along together. We work well as a partnership, as a business partnership, as this marriage is in many ways, and most marriages are in many ways, is a business, right. You know, of keeping the two of you alive and any of your employees.
they're slaves. You don't pay them.
I have questions about your hiring practices.
I don't. Always hire from within. Always hire from within.
That got gross.
But that was like all of that was on the table from the beginning.
Right. Sure.
All of that was just out there. There was none of this. Love will find all. Blah, blah. It was like, no, we are.
That's solid, yo. Mm-hmm. Like for Bill and I, I'm interrupting slightly.
Go ahead.
But like Bill and I, we're comedy partners. We're lovers. Like, I always break these things down into chunks. Which sure. chunks do you feel, fit into? that was for you, James. I'll fart later. Yeah. It'll be delightful.
I don't want chunks in that either. No. You don't want chunks in
sorry.
That.
Sorry. look, bitch, this is happening.
You don't get to say.
No, but like, so we were comedy partners. We were lovers. We were best friends. Mm-hmm. We were... partners on many different levels. And so we thought we could make a marriage work. And one of the levels that we were not good partners at was the domestic interdependency level.
Yep.
The possibly business partner, although I feel like we did a lot of business partnering things with the comedies, so that doesn't quite fit. But
sure.
Yeah. Like
some types of business.
The domestic household level, just we couldn't quite make it work.
Right.
And that's an important thing to factor into a marriage.
Well, I mean, like, one of the top argued things in a marriage is money. Like,
right.
you need to run a marriage as a business. You have costs and you have, you know, profits.
Right.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to balance all of that out. You need to be able to have a budget. You need to, you know, as you expand your business... you need to be able to, you know, factor that in and all of these things. You have to be a good business partner. And if one business partner is doing all the bookwork and the other business partner is spending all the money on hookers and blow.
Oh, my God. We could never afford hookers and blow, but you pretty much described my marriage, so
yeah,
thank you.
I know. Okay. I know
that. Home in the middle of the day. Honey, we're opening a franchise.
Yes. Oh. Oh my God!
I'm going to.
That's a thing you should have a conversation. Well,
I'm going to need to be there for all the openings.
Oh God!
Yeah, I took it there. Damn right I did.
I have a side story when you're done with that.
The other thing I wanted to just slip in here a little bit.
Whoa! Bad touch.
I'm making James lose it over here, and I'm happy about
that. I'm helping. High five.
No, talking about you know, that is why hand fasting exists.
Right.
Is because back in the day, they didn't we didn't travel and things like that. Not every town necessarily had a preacher.
Right.
You know, you had preachers that traveled around, you know? Right. And so if people wanted to get married, the next preacher wasn't going to be there for another year. You had a civil ceremony called hand fasting that meant, as far as everybody was concerned, you's married.
Yep.
And it was a civil ceremony. And once the preacher finally got around, then he'd go, okay, now I'll marry you in the religious ceremony. But this was an accepted thing.
Yeah. Sure.
This was just, like, everybody was on board with it. The church was on board with it. Everybody was cool. This is how this works. And then somehow that became not
less of a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, it became not a thing because a lot of things, especially finances, started to be ruled not only on a local level, but on a national level. And as the need for national regulation and like federal regulation came into play, it had to be a not just a socially significant ceremony, but a legally significant ceremony.
Right.
But I mean, that's basically what this was. This was this was the legal ceremony,
right?
As opposed to the religious ceremony. This is the one that let everybody in town know, okay, they's married.
I think a lot of that probably also came into play during the like the 1940s and 1950s. Like, definitely romance existed.
Right.
And has existed.
Right.
But even when you look at like Victorian, Victorian United States and Britain, it was still more of a our families should touch.
Mm-hmm.
They should be one family legally and
that was the
financially
the whole idea behind courtly love.
Oh, Reginald, you say such romantic things.
Is everybody got married for political purposes. It was not for love. You got married, you had kids, this was just a thing that you did.
Yeah.
Courtly love was actual, you know, that love and affection and stuff like that with no sex. Like, courtly love, the whole idea behind courtly love was you didn't have sex. Because she was already married.
Yeah.
And, not according to
and
the French.
And she's his pop...
I mean...
Yeah, well, the French do things differently. But I mean, she was property and therefore was not allowed to have sex with other men, whereas he could fuck around for some reason. Because reasons. Because
Seed. Yeah. Seed needs to get planted.
And I mean, obviously that sort of thing happens. See Lancelot. But most of it, like, was you
not just appreciated an ironic nickname,
you appreciated the woman from afar, and the most like titillating thing that happened was she gave you a handkerchief that you stuck in your armor.
You like, said titillating.
Yes, I did.
The thing that the franchise reminded me of.
Bring it back.
Was in fact the worst pickup line ever used on me.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah?
Wherein a gentleman at a bar who I was new and was friends with and whatever put his arm around me and was like, "So I look at marriage a lot like owning a restaurant."
Oh.
So, you know, like you're serving good food, but sometimes you just want to eat elsewhere. And I was like, huh, maybe you should look to the quality of the food in your own restaurant then, huh?
Not a very good cook.
No, that's, it's a real, like, what he's expressing is not
unnatural
or
gross,
but he's expressing it in a gross way.
He's expressing it in a really gross way. Like, I can understand, like, at least having the desire, and if all parties involved are okay with it, she wasn't, by the way, then fine, whatever. But that was creepy and not okay on a lot of,
The opening salvo was
out of that.
No.
Yeah.
No,
there are much better ways of broaching that.
Oh, my God.
I can only think of a few ways that this can go up from here, and I'm certain
and
that you're not clever enough to do any of them.
God. Oh, God. That's what franchise reminded me of. It wasn't a direct thing, but I was just like, ew.
No,
ew.
Yeah,
ew.
No.
Marriage and franchise, I think, specifically.
But I was just reminded, you know, that people are not logical beings.
What?
By any...
What you
by
say?
By any measurement. So we do...
Hush your mouth.
I know. We do need to accommodate people's need for romance. We do need to accommodate their They're very human, sort of emotional ideals.
People have penile needs, man.
Well, I have penile needs.
More than that, like, he was talking very specifically, the dude in this podcast was talking about after his husband was dead, there was a very real chance. He would go down to the mailbox every day and check and see if the state of Ohio had delivered a new and revised death certificate for his husband that would remove his name as the legal surviving spouse.
Okay.
Retroactive.
Not even for legal purposes. Like, you know, he's not even concerned about things that were left to him or anything like that, but just effectively removing from a permanent record their existence together as spouses.
Sure.
Which is weirdly horrifying.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's, I, to me, that spoke volumes about why an emotionally significant service, as well as like a legally significant thing, but why something that is emotionally significant is also desirable.
No, I totally get that. I'm not negating that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was effectively the conversation. And,
sure.
Yeah. I also wholeheartedly recommend The Moth to pretty much anybody. Not only is it entertaining, but it's got some super deep stuff going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
I think we should.
I need to pee so bad.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a little bit.
Do-do-do. Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And in my haste to talk about my fantastic hairdo,
and you're herded
with my look, all I'm saying is Justin does a really fine haircut.
Oh my god, yeah, he does.
Also, he does, like, while he was shampooing my hair after the cut, like, he pulled out one of those steaming hot towels.
Oh yeah,
like holy shit, like super hot towel, just steam billowing out of it.
Okay.
And, like, arranged that on my face.
Uh-huh.
And just let it sit there for a couple minutes. And then he, like, scrubbed my beard.
Hmm.
Like,
nice.
It felt amazing.
I believe that.
Like, that was awesome.
I've heard tales of him doing things like that. He never does that with me.
He never scrubs your beard?
Never scrubs my beard. Very unhappy about that.
To be fair, your beard's a little bit lower and there's glass walls. So...
Are there? In case of emergency, break glass.
But also what happened was a pie day party.
Yay, pie day!
Yay, party. I had a lot of people at my house, and we had pie.
And I still didn't win.
I'm sorry.
Very sad.
Good pie, though.
I was very happy with my pie.
Yeah.
I'm always happy with my pie, but I was also happy with what I brought to the party. Yeah.
I have heard...
Good double entendre.
The, I heard many people say, and I don't think they're saying it just to be nice, that the best pies there were mine and my wife's.
Oh, you mean the pie soup?
Not that one. Different. Not that. I will get there.
Different.
We'll get thing. There. Uh-huh. But there were, and I mean, I guess it makes sense because we think about this basically all year round. Mm-hmm. And we've really.
And not your
this.
Kids' pie.
That was pretty great too.
It was. Okay.
So, and the other thing is because we've made these before. Right. So I made the ones that I have to make every year at this point.
Sure.
The picadillo pie mm-hmm. and the cheeseburger pickle pie.
Oh, yes.
And I mean, that's the thing is I have made, I think I made the picadillo pie the first pie day. And I have had to make it every year since.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because my wife won't let me not make it.
Well.
So this year I was like, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to try to make a white chocolate and lime tart. And right. of course I'm going to have to make the picadillo pie too. So I'm going to make, right. those are my two pies this year. And then she goes, don't forget the cheeseburger pie. And I was like, fuck, I have to make the cheeseburger pie too. So I ended up making three. And then my wife made her scotch egg pie, which is a pie that's scotch eggs. And it's...
So oh, good. Yes.
Yeah, it was.
And then she,
I like every part of that sentence.
I know, right?
And then she also made a... what was the other one she made? I'm blanking. There was so much pie.
There's so much pie.
There really was so Whoa. Much.
So much pie.
Whoa. God, what was it she made? Oh, that's what it was. Like a cockaliki pie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which is chicken and leek. Pie basically. Kakaliki. It was super
good. I just like saying kakaliki.
Yeah, super good.
Hey,
and then
kakaliki.
She was going to make a magic
sounds like
pie.
Like a small stringed instrument.
Ooh.
Related to the ukulele.
She was going to make a magic pie again this year, and then we just ran out of time.
Right, that, I get that.
It's not like you guys had an enormity
right.
of things to do.
Right. And the other thing is my kids made a pie. Aww. My children.
Yeah, they did.
With help, of course, made mm-hmm. a rainbow Lucky Charms pie.
Aww.
And what you do is, this is what you do. You take a box of Lucky Charms, and you have the kids separate the cereal from the marshmallows.
Okay.
Which, my kids did surprisingly well not eating marshmallows. They ate a few.
Well, yeah, you have to test them.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
but they ate surprisingly few. But so you separate that out. Then you basically mix you take the cereal part and you put it in a food processor and you powder it and then you mix it with butter and that becomes your crust.
Right.
So okay. you've got the Lucky Charms cereal.
Say it slow. Yeah.
Say it slow. Yeah.
Then you take and you melt marshmallow.
Jesus fucking Christ.
In with cream until you get just this marshmallow cream goo.
Mm.
And then you mix that with some more dairy. So sorry, Jenna.
Yeah, I know.
But then you separate that out. Also, cream cheese in
yep.
there. And you separate all of that out. And mm-hmm. I need to take this.
On yeah. call. On call. On call is calling. On call is calling. James, what did you make for the pie day?
I tried something new and a little weird, a little unusual.
What?
I tried to use double muffin tins to make yes. tiny pie crusts out of Pillsbury rolls.
Okay.
Which would be like little orange rolls or little cinnamon
yes.
rolls. I didn't use enough weight on okay. on the upper set of tins. I did put a weight on them in addition to the second layer of tins,
right.
but it just didn't...
Wasn't it?
They were too strong, too
There was
powerful.
Too much puff.
Yes. So they ended up kind of more like muffins, and we just hollowed out the,
right.
the centers. We put non-dairy, non-allergen sorbetto into the... Which required a little research, into the center.
I appreciate it.
To give it some filling, and then we used a soy whipped topping
whipped.
For the top sort
yes.
of decoration, and so the intention, and it didn't quite go as planned, but the intention was to have these little pie crusts made out of rolls, and to pair a chocolate sorbetto with the chocolate macchiato sorbetto with the cinnamon. And say then blood orange sorbetto with the orange roll crust. And then just give them a little across the top.
I got those for you, by the way.
Yeah, they're in the freezer.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So the tins of sorbetto.
Okay. Oh, yay!
Yeah. But they were also just like so teeny tiny, which I think especially toward the end of Pi Day is what people are looking for, is just like a bite of something.
I need a... Right. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah. But, you know, given the time of year and given that it's sorbetto and everything else, that the crusts had not had enough time to cool. I had not had the time to chill them.
Right.
After a very short amount of time, I imagine they just became soup.
I had a lovely soaked crust. It was delicious, yes. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah. There are things that I would do...
Differently?
Differently.
Right.
In coming years. But,
yeah.
But, yeah.
I liked that I could eat them.
Yeah.
That was happy.
That was the goal, was that there would be...
Pie for Jenna.
More things for you to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did bring my allergen-free pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had some. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the pumpkin-ness of it.
I didn't have any of it, so I hope it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also made a pig pie, which was...
Lovely.
Thank you. It was
super lovely.
It was a bacon crust with ham and hash brown layer... And then a pulled pork, a whiskey-soaked pulled pork in the middle. And then on top was a delightful apple chutney.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was very pleased with the flavor. I was unhappy with my bacon crust. But I feel like, and I feel like there's more I could have done with the pulled pork and didn't. So. Yeah.
What about the bacon crust? What happened?
I had problems making it stay crust. Like... Number one, I did the thing where I put the bacon over a pie tin to keep the shape as it was baking.
Sure.
But it's still curled up awkwardly.
Yeah, bacon is sort of irascible.
Yeah. So I was on it, and then it didn't crisp the way I wanted it to, and there were just issues all around. So. Yeah. So I'm going to research that and maybe try it again next year.
Yeah. You and I can strategize future pie endeavors because I've worked with making a bacon crust for something before.
Okay.
And it turned
next
out
year.
Really well. Yeah.
Next year we will pig pie.
Do you need to just have a lot of redundant layers?
No.
Because I would think the problem with bacon crust would it would pull apart and separate and you would just basically have a mud.
No, I didn't have any pulling apart. Okay. I did a lattice work for the crust.
Yeah.
And that part actually held together really well.
Okay. Especially if you use like a thick bacon.
Yeah, it was more around the edges. I didn't actually use a thick bacon. But it was more around the edges, like they just curled up.
I understand.
So yeah. I was unhappy with that. So I'll figure something out next year. But then I also made a s'mores pie. And I feel
you made the s'mores pie.
Yeah, okay. I made the s'mores pie.
I didn't know who made the s'mores pie. That was quite good.
I didn't get a chance to try that one, but
that I feel like was my piece de la resistance.
Brought a piece of that to work yesterday.
Oh, excellent.
A little bit of the leftovers.
It's that good.
Ah.
I didn't let the chocolate sit quite as long as I wanted to. I got kind of rushed for my pie making this year. So it was more pudding-like than I wanted something slightly more solid in that.
Sure.
Closer to it. Tart or custardy type density, and I didn't quite get there, but it looked phenomenal because I put the marshmallows on top and I put it in the oven and I watched it bake to make sure that the marshmallows were the perfect golden brown.
Right.
I fucking
dang.
It was pretty. Yo. It was pretty as fuck all.
Yeah.
And it tasted really good. I was really happy with the taste of that pie.
Mm.
Like, seriously pleased. So. And none of them won.
I'm sorry.
And I am sad.
It's out of my hands. It's
I know.
A Democratic vote.
Stupid Democrats.
I know, right? Well, maybe if people stopped voting for pies that are ineligible for winning.
Right.
I seriously, like, they were clearly labeled this year, do not vote for these pies.
Eric Thompson took the sweet pie with his lemon custard, and that was amazing. I'm not sad losing to that. I'm just sad that I lost, if that makes sense.
And then the winners of the savory were the steak and Guinness pie, which was really, really yummy. And there was a tomato and onion pie that took the gold. It was a tie.
Ooh.
So my kid's pie.
Your kid's pie. Finished.
Yeah. Okay, so you take Lucky Charm crust. Then you take... marshmallows, melt them in a lot of dairy, and then you put in some whipped cream cheese just to give it a little more body. And then you separate it into four bowls and you add food coloring. So you have four bowls of different colors. And then you layer each color.
Aww.
So what you do is you actually take a Ziploc bag or a kitchen bag.
Yeah.
And you put the color in there and then you nip the tip. And then you basically tube it out because it's really runny, and if you just dump, you won't get layers.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to tube it out gently and then like spread it around and let it sit.
Okay.
And then tube out gently the next layer on top so it sits on top as opposed to glumping into the middle.
Right.
So then you get these nice layers of the different colors. And then you take the marshmallows from the Lucky Charms and you sprinkle them on top. And then you stick that in the fridge and you're done.
Yay!
And it tastes amazing.
Yeah.
Excellent.
There's some vanilla in there and stuff like that, too.
I was wondering when you were going to, like, add tropical fruits to make it completely un-Jenna-able.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Huh? Some bananas, peanuts.
Good call, yeah.
Sprinkle coconut on top of that
shit.
Oh,
yeah. Right there and there with the Lucky Charms cereals.
Right? Yeah.
My kids were so proud of that pie.
They should have been. That was pretty.
They were telling everybody about it.
Yeah, they were.
When do your kids talk about everything they've done?
That's
So that was Pi Day.
Yay, Pi Day.
It was a good time. We ate a lot and everybody hung out and had good chats.
Yeah.
Which is
pie. And I played catch with Ashton.
Yeah. We had so many kids.
So
many kids running around.
Oh my god. Children everywhere.
Mm-hmm. But everybody was cool with that because most of the people there had kids themselves were fine playing with kids.
Right. Right.
And so there was just a lot of good chatting with good friends and a whole lot of stuffed bellies. And like seriously, by the time 6-7 o'clock rolled around, there was a lot of yawning.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We were full of pie.
Oh, yeah.
But this year, Raiderly and I were also really smart about it because in past years... After the pie party, what Raiderly has started to do is buy this disposable Tupperware, and we force people to take pie home.
I snuck out before that point. I can't have half of it.
I took so much pie.
I feel not bad at all.
I took so much pie.
But even so, we always end up with like half a dozen pies worth of leftovers, even trying to force it on other people. Sure. And in the past, we've... stuck that in the fridge downstairs and said, okay, we're going to work on this. And then we just get sick of pie and there's still four pies left.
Sure.
So this year we literally went through and we took like one slice of this, one slice of this. We had like two, like one savory pie and one sweet pie's worth of pie. And we chucked the rest.
Good job.
Like, fuck it. We're going to either throw it away later or we're going to throw it away now.
Better to have some of it and just do it make intentionally. It go.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I could have taken some pie home tonight.
Motherfucker! No, you couldn't have because it would kill you for all of them.
Probably.
The savory pie is already gone. We still have just a couple slices of pie.
I like to make my Jenna Safe pies out of coconut and...
that was the party. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Right.
And then next day we had Die Laughing meetings.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And dim sum.
That is coming up.
Well,
Die Laughing is coming up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that briefly.
Die Laughing.
Die Laughing is coming up.
Oh dear god, in heaven, yes it is.
In just less than 2 weeks. Yeah. It's imminent.
Soon I will have my life back.
Of course, the three of us are going to be doing all of the things.
I'm already doing all of the things.
Jenna is in charge of the whole thing. I am one of the department heads, so I'm especially starting yesterday, when the host questionnaires went out, when the tech like updates went out. So from now until then, I'm going to be up to my neck just trying to sort shit out. Jay, you're not a department head per se, but you were doing a lot of stuff with the website.
Yeah.
So James has been really busy. Plus, there's the fact that we're all in a lot of shows. So holy shit, that's our life right now.
Yep, that's pretty much everything.
How many? I know that you're super busy and usually don't do a lot of shows because you've just got stuff going on. How many shows are you in?
That's actually a misnomer. I believe I personally am involved with 5 or 6 shows this year. My daughter's involved with 2.
Okay,
and I keep claiming hers is mine because she has my DNA. Naturally. So yeah, but. During the event itself, assuming that I have done everything correctly, I should be bored off my ass.
Awesome.
Because my job during the event is to be there in case of fire.
Right.
Or, you know, something got missed or whatever else. Like, that's my job during the event. So if I do my job right ahead of time, I should theoretically not have shit.
Awesome. Okay.
So, like, that's like a thing people are like, oh, Jenna's so busy during the event. Nope. I'm busy stressing out and worrying and having all the anxiety, but yeah.
That's if you did everything right.
That look was heard by every single one of our listeners.
Yeah, I got uncomfortable.
You son of a bitch.
I feel a little crisp around the edges just standing near you.
My work here is done.
But I mean, that is accurate. And I mean, sometimes there are things that just come up.
Oh, yeah.
Usually people handle them before they get to me, which is fine. I'm okay with that.
What department heads are for.
Yeah, right.
It's my problem.
Yeah. So, I'm involved with several different shows because that'll keep me from worrying all the time when I'm not involved with several different shows. The problem is that all of my shows are spaced out. Just enough to where I'm like, oh, when am I gonna sleep? Never? Fine. Whatever. Fuck it. Let's do this. You'd think that as the booker, I could schedule things so that I'd get sleep. Nope. Nope.
No, because you will put everyone else before you.
I mean, I didn't do that intentionally this year. It just kind of happened. Like, when I schedule, I try to give some people chunks of time that I, you know... I try to keep some people in mind as far as, like, sleep and things like that. But I also, like, I have to book by type, like, rating. Like, I'm not going to put a kids show on at 3 in the morning, nor am I going to put a fucking offensive show on at 3 in the afternoon. So, like, there's booking like that that takes place. There's trying to mix up comedy styles.
Right.
So that it's not just 5 hours of improv. We have a very strong improv community that can do that and
followed
typically
by
does
5 hours of Matt Alex. May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. But yeah, so like my scheduling has many different factors.
Yeah.
Me being the least of which, like I just don't think about myself when I'm scheduling. That doesn't mean I'm putting other people before me. That just means that I'm not taking me into account. So, yeah. And I'm really fucking excited for this year. We've got some psychic this year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really excited about this.
Well, you should be.
I believe his name is that psychic guy or something. Like, I can't even remember.
I'm so fucking pumped for this.
I'm really excited for that. Oh. We have Mary Jo Peel.
Yes,
we'll be
also excited. Performing.
I'm super excited. We've got Lounge Lizzie. I was actually I was hanging out with Jessa earlier today because we live in the same apartment because that's how family works.
Right.
And
sometimes
she was on the website. She filled out a volunteer form, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're local, dear listener, you can also go to dielaughingmarathon.com and fill out a volunteer form and give us a couple hours of your time to help make this thing go.
Yes, please.
But she filled out the form and then she was looking at the schedule and she's like, oh, Lounge Lizzie.
Yeah,
of course I booked her. Are you kidding me? Like, and she just kept like calling out all of these shows that she was super excited for. And she's like, I'm not going to sleep. I'm like, please. I feel like as a parent, yes, I should encourage you to sleep. Like, I feel like I have one job, and that is take care of you.
Right.
Please sleep.
Yeah.
You're going to be 18 soon. I just want you to make it there. Yeah, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm super excited about that. We do have some challenges up right now. Mm-hmm. Some pre-show challenges. I'm going to start with the least and go to the best. So Tim Wick has a host challenge. If he raises a certain amount of money before Die Laughing starts, he will wear a porg onesie.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yep.
Okay.
And
here's the thing about that.
It's special made.
That is a punishment for all of us, but not him.
But a reward for him. Yeah.
Because he fucking loves them.
He is so addicted.
Well, yeah.
He's going to be so fucking happy, but the rest of us are going to have to suffer that. Yeah. That's what the problem is.
He's going to be so comfy and sleepy.
Yeah, we'll get him a pillow.
And insufferable.
Also
well,
that.
Yeah, the porg costume has nothing to do with that.
Thank you for going there with me.
So, yeah, there's the Tim Wick porg onesie challenge. There is Don and Angela, Don Krasnowski and Angela Fox.
Oh, yes.
Have their MC, I'm sorry, Salsa.
MC fuck.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, that's a much different challenge. but no, they have their MC challenge list. They're doing an incremental. So if they raise X amount, which I believe they have already raised at least $100, mm-hmm, so they will start their MC shift in Wonder Woman corsets, outfit type things. There's corseting involved. I don't know. But I'm already in.
Right.
If they get to up to $1,000, they will wear each other's wedding dresses.
Oh.
But there are steps in between. Like there's the tallest pair of heels that they own. They will wear each other's bras at like $700 or something.
What?
Like it's pretty impressive. So yeah, I know they've at least already hit their first goal. And they're going for more.
Oh boy.
So and then other pre-Die Laughing challenges that you can donate to, mm-hmm, involve the High Five guys and Apropos of Nothing. We will be doing the host swap again this year, and uh-huh, this year you can pre-buy your host swapping. Mm-hmm. I'm in. I'm down for swapping.
Taken out of context.
She had a date like that once.
So many. Not just once. So anyway...
Hashtag Jenna date.
Oh, God. But yeah, so we do have the host swapping available for each podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We have some delightful people available on those that you might not get to hear on other times, such as Matt Alex, may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
And Lauren Haven is also available for that.
The delightful Lauren Haven, yeah.
The delightful Lauren Haven. So yeah. And then we have the shot challenge as well, so you can buy us all booze.
God.
Certain amount for a shot per person, certain amount for a round of shots for everybody who happens to be there at that point.
See,
I've
enjoyed listening to this in previous years. Because it sounds bad.
This will be your first year, won't it?
But now that I'm subject to it, it's not a good idea.
I'm delighted, but I'm going to buy you a shot.
No. Here's the thing. It's a lot of fun. And also, it's a slog.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun for other people.
Also, take some advice from somebody who's been through it for a few times.
Sure.
It's better if you're drunk.
Yeah.
Because it might not be good for everyone else, but you'll get through it.
You'll survive this, James. You got this.
All right.
You will survive.
I will survive.
As long as you have love to give.
Also,
I know you'll be alive.
We don't know what booze... High Five is going to be bringing for us.
We do not.
I don't.
So
you've got this, okay, James.
Thankfully, right. I already have ideas of what we're going to bring for them.
Excellent.
Okay, suddenly this got a lot better.
See? We make it. Yes!
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God, yes.
See, this can be fun.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Woo. So, all of those challenges can be found at dielaughingmarathon.com.
Dielaughingmarathon.com.
Under the menu, there is a challenge section, and under the challenge section, there are now subsections for each of those challenges to take you straight to where it is that you want to be.
Hot.
So yeah, go to dielaughingmarathon.com.
Dielaughingmarathon.com.
Thank you. And go pay up front to see us suffer.
I've also heard some of the sort of in situ challenges for this year.
Mm.
And I am not looking forward.
There are some there's a new reward challenge,
yes,
though. I'm super excited about this reward challenge.
Yeah, me too. Kyle and I have agreed to do something
stupid.
Real stupid.
I'm surprised. I'm shocked. This is me being shocked.
Real
that
stupid.
The two of you have come up with something stupid to do. I'm shocked. Yeah. Do you see the shock?
Well, and the worst part is I have experience with what we've agreed to.
I'm also shocked about this.
And it's unpleasant.
And it, well,
deeply, like,
still with the shock
yeah.
face.
Day
do
ruining.
You see the shock.
I know.
I'm surprised
the two
of you are going to do something stupid together that you, in fact, have past experience in and still volunteered to do.
Yeah.
With Kyle and the stupid.
Well, the thing is, it's got to be dumb enough. It's got to be awful enough that it's worth it.
And it is. I know what you're doing. Oh. You don't need to tell people.
No.
But
no,
I know what you're doing, and that's gross.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with gross on that one.
Yeah, gross is going to be a good... Yeah.
Possibly disgusting.
Yeah. The results, especially, could be very bad.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm glad I'm not a part of this.
Yeah.
All of our listeners are like, fucking just stop. We don't know what it is. We're not going to know what it is. Soon.
They will. You will
soon.
Yeah.
There are some other really fun... So this year specifically, our hosts are doing specific challenges to them, which I find delightful. Because I don't think we've fucked with our hosts enough in the past. So,
yeah.
And I never get to host because I'm basically on call the entire weekend. And what if shit goes awry? So,
and it's usually the host who's like, all right, we've got some challenges. I'm about to dole out all of this punishment. But now the tables have turned.
No.
And of course it's the first year where I...
Get to host,
right.
Sucker!
This is a terrible plan.
I think it's delightful. I'm in, because...
Right.
Yeah, not hosting.
No, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, we have the host challenges are new this year, and I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
We do have some matching grants and some other opportunities to double your funds, so keep an eye out for those as they come up. And yeah, I'm really excited. We've got a lot of good stuff going on. I'm tired already.
Yeah.
I've been up for the past few days. I've been up until probably about 11 o'clock midnight most nights, just working on shit.
Which for most people is not super late, but they also don't get up as early as you do.
Yeah. I'm usually up by 6:30.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm cutting my sleep short.
Mm-hmm.
For you. You're welcome. So, yay, die laughing. And that is April 6th through 8th at the Phoenix Theater. We start Friday at 7 p.m., go to Sunday at 9 p.m. 50 full hours. I will say, I did some research into this, by the way, and I'm super excited. As far as I can tell with my Google Foo.
Sure, which is
strong. So I could be mistaken, but... I worked help desk for many years, so I feel like I have pretty good Google Foo.
Yeah, and trivia.
As far as I can tell, we are the longest running marathon. Like 50 hours is the longest amount of time for any. Well, that's the max for any comedy marathon. Like there are a few that do 50 hours, but those are all improv festival 50 hour type style things.
Right.
And I will say the Del Close Improv Festival does 50 hours, but they also have like four venues, so they got a lot of shit going on during that 50 hours.
Huge does it.
They have one too. It's not but it's not 50 hours, is my point.
Oh.
No. Huge does.
I thought they had a 50
nope.
thing of improv.
Nope. But I
could be mistaken, yeah.
I don't think they're nearly as stupid as we are. I know they have a 24-hour one for, like, Give to the Max Day, but I don't think they have anything like 50 hours. So, like, of 50 hours, I found the Del Close Improv Festival, and then I found an improv festival in London. That's what I found for 50 hours. So, 50-hour comedy marathons is us and those guys.
Yeah.
So, there's that. There's several 48-hour festivals.
Sure.
Or marathons. There's a Japanese, like a 48-hour Japanese torture marathon for comedy purposes, because Japan, I don't even know.
Right.
I don't understand. They think pain is funny. I don't. I mean, it's, we've kind of built our thing on that, so I can't really judge. But
I've seen Eric Thompson slip on a banana peel.
I believe that. But as far as multi-comedy style comedy marathon, like,
sure,
we're fucking it. We have the most hours and the most comedy styles
globally. Nice.
As far as my Google foo can confirm, and please feel free to make me wrong on this. Like, if you can find something and let me know, please do, because I don't want to be spouting inaccuracies.
Right.
But as far as I can tell, we are the longest lasting, like the most consecutive hour multi-comedy style marathon in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing.
That's impressive. And we've been doing this for
this. Yep, this is our fifth year doing it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal, and I didn't realize that I started something that fucking dumb.
Uh-huh.
You did this to us.
You're welcome, bitches.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So.
So
yeah, Die Laughing Method. Oh, and it's almost entirely local people too.
Yeah.
I think we have one or two people from Wisconsin, but otherwise it's like straight
Wisconsin's
up.
Local.
We just have comedy in Minnesota.
But you don't need to be in Minnesota to watch it.
Nope. Because we'll be live streaming the entire thing.
Yes.
We should move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
To our shoutouts.
Ooh.
Okay.
So, did I startle everybody? Do we need to give it a moment to think of shoutouts, or do we have one?
Man, I've had such a shit day today. I'm just like, ugh. Give me a moment.
I'm sorry.
I've got one.
Go ahead.
I want to say thank you to Nick Offerman. Comedian and actor in Parks and Rec and a number of other things. Mr. Offerman is incredibly funny, very heartfelt, and great at woodworking.
Oh, yes.
Is a stellar example to humankind, I believe.
Right. Yes.
So far. I haven't seen anything to the contrary. In fact, I've seen many things that support this.
Right.
And then also, just seems earnestly awesome. So, I appreciate the good example.
Thank you for not touching people inappropriately.
Yeah, also
like,
that.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
good
has
job.
One of the most wholesome, what's the word? For whatever reason, I'm not coming up with the platonic
profile.
Is the correct word. Has one of the most wholesome platonic television relationships that I've ever seen. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So, yeah.
Yay!
That.
I'm going to give a shout out to my Facebook community. So, like, Facebook as a platform, yes, it gets a lot of flack. Yes, it can be absolutely soul-sucking. But when I have an issue that, like, I need help with, I can put something out on Facebook and I've got help. When I'm having a bad day and I'm like, tell me why I'm important. I've got, like, fucking 50-some comments about what makes me a good person. And that, and like some of those comments just really touched me. Like, you were very welcoming to me when I first met you. I'm like, oh God, my heart. Mm-hmm. That just exploded. So, and now I'm having a heart attack, you guys.
Yeah, local news.
Angina. It sounds dirty, but it's not.
I mean, it is a hole.
But I'm trying to be heartfelt, God damn it.
Yeah.
And I was trying to be heart problematic.
Yeah, and you are angina would be heartfelt. Yeah.
You would feel it, that's for sure.
Oh, God damn it. But no, like, just we talk about these tools that we have, and there's a lot of shit that can come with these tools, but there's also a lot of good things that we can do with it.
I'm sure when we all go back to MySpace, it'll be a similar...
I think it's important for us to remember that...
Live journal, bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Are you done?
Yep.
Okay. I think it's important for us to remember that these platforms are, in fact, tools, and we can use them to whatever ends that we choose to use them for. I am very thankful for and give a shout out to internet tools and Facebook specific, and my community even more specifically in that. Salsa.
I am going to give a shout out to pre-made pie crust.
Oh my God, hallelujah. Oh.
I have come to a realization, and that is I enjoy baking a great deal. I enjoy making food as opposed to purchasing food.
Yeah.
With pie crust, here's the thing. You need to, you purchase things at some point down the process. Like, you don't buy whole grain and then grind it yourself. You buy flour. You don't buy a side of beef and process it yourself. You buy a hamburger or a steak or something like that. You are already a couple steps down the process by the time you get it.
Right.
So even though you are making the food, there's a couple steps that have already been done for you.
Yeah.
That's what the way I look at pie crust. I'm completely okay with going, I'm going to let these couple steps be taken care of for me.
Like Carl Sagan says, if you want to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Yeah. So that's exactly it. Is when you make food from scratch, you are basically choosing how far back in the process you are willing to go.
I'm going to go milk the cow.
Right. And I have decided that I am willing to go far enough back in the process to where the pie crust is already made. And I don't
pre-made
feel
Earth's crust.
Any guilt about that whatsoever.
Right.
Like, none. I am making, you know, I'm cooking up the filling and I'm mixing the ingredients and I'm putting it in the crust and I'm actually baking it. I'm just rolling out what somebody else has already rolled out as far as pie crust.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's great, and it's perfect every time, and I feel zero guilt about using
pie crust
because they're great, and why not?
Well, none of your friends are going to be like, fuck you for giving us delicious food that was partially created somewhere else.
So
I'm going to, but that's mostly on principle and because I'm a bitch. Like,
so yeah, pre-made pie crust.
God,
fuck you!
It's the bomb.
I did use pre-made pie crust for my s'mores pie.
Oh, yeah.
But I did not for the pig pie or for the allergen-free one, because you find an allergen-free pie crust.
Yeah.
So, although not necessarily the most popular, I believe that pie is made with the most love.
Barf.
It's made with the most barf?
Yes.
That's why nobody eats the damn thing. They're like, allergen-free pumpkin pie.
I want to talk about something that happened.
All
right, make it quick.
At one of your parties, I have successfully been baby birded.
Yep.
Somebody going with that. Somebody chewed something up and then, like, dripped it into my mouth.
That was gross. He's our newest member of Fearless.
That's correct.
Eight Fearless members. Guess who you just voted in?
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, goddamn.
Comedy
gross.
Is important.
And I couldn't not. I need to stop having parties. I think that's the moral of this story. Just Jenna, just be done. No more parties.
Yep.
All right. I'm ready.
Hey, everybody.
Yes.
Yes.
That's us.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Mr. Mud.
Yay, Mr. Mud. Oh, my God. Baby
Papa
pictures.
Mud.
Mud puddle.
Papa Mud. Papa Mud. He's now Papa Mud.
Papa Mud.
Papa Mud.
For those that do not know how this works, the Fast Five is we receive two messages from you, the dear listener. That's right, you. It could be you someday. You just need to actually submit things because we can't just read things from you if you don't send them to us. And then we open the first email, and the email has nothing but five choices. We do not know what these choices mean. No. All we have are the options.
Yeah.
It's only after we choose the options that we go back and open the second email that you have sent, because if you do not send the second email, then we still have the same problem, and find out what the context of those choices are.
I'm a Libra. And who is dead. I'm a Libra and I have problems with options.
Yeah?
Question number one.
Do you?
Well, I'm a Libra sun sign with an Aries moon, so I'm absolutely positive I have no fucking idea what it is that I want.
I don't know what I am because it doesn't fucking matter.
I
know, right? Question number one.
Nothing about you matters.
Question number one.
Yes.
Matt Alex or Tim Wick?
May he rest in peace.
Oh,
we get this question a lot.
Damn it.
By the way, the context is always different.
Yeah.
But somehow a lot of people lump those two together for reasons.
Gross.
I think it's because I hate them both and look them both as like family sibling type stuff, and people love making jokes about that shit. I'm going to go Tim Wick for this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go Matt Alex.
I got to go Matt as well.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, question number two. Duck Washington.
Ooh.
Or Kelvin Hadley.
Ooh.
Oh. I got to go Duck. Number one, because I don't want to seem racist. Number two, he's my guy, man. We do Caucasian Aggressive Pandas together. He's my buddy.
Gonna say he's got an upcoming show. I'm not aware of any of Calvin's upcoming shows, which doesn't mean he doesn't have them.
And he's had many of them.
Yeah,
and specifically in Fringe. Like they're both pretty strong players in the Fringe scene.
Prolific.
They're both really good at Ville.
Yes.
That is the thing that I did over the weekend. There was a Ville show.
Ah.
I got to Ville against Kelvin.
Yay.
And my daughter. She kicked my ass.
Yeah.
So you
she's a force of nature.
I went with Duck.
Duck.
I'm going with Duck.
I'm also going with Duck.
Oh. Okay.
Duck, Duck, Duck. That's not a game.
Mm. Question number three.
Yes.
Porter or Saint Manna the Destroyer?
Porter.
Ooh.
I gotta go Saint Manna.
I saw Porter most recently.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go Porter.
I've known Porter for a very long time, and he is a very, very close friend of mine, so...
Yeah.
I gotta go Porter.
Fair.
Also, I haven't seen him. I should say hi. I should send him a message.
Do that, too. Yeah.
We should have him on again sometime.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Question number four. Terry Foy or Carr Hagerman?
Oh.
Terry Foy.
A little bit of context for those who are not Minnesota natives. Terry Foy plays Zilch the Tory Steller out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. And Carr Hagerman plays the rat catcher and is also our artistic director.
Yep.
Carr made me laugh super hard very recently.
I actually have some very sweet stories about Carr. That I'm like, oh, man, but Carr. But I'm like, I feel like I just know Terry closer and better in general.
Fair. I grew up watching Terry.
Right?
Yeah. Ah, fuck.
I know, life is hard.
I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to
do it. Car. Okay, your car, I'm Terry.
All right.
And this what were you, Salsa?
I was a car.
Okay.
Question number five.
Beep, beep.
Ho. Ooh, goddamn, timely.
Okay.
Fuck. Die Laughing.
Oh.
Or First Weekend of Fest.
Fuck.
Die Laughing.
Which is more difficult and stressful?
Die laughing. I can breeze through a First Weekend of Fest. I've been doing it
die
for
laughing.
28 years.
Also,
or
Die
some
Laughing
shit.
Is the first three weekends of Fest put together in the one day.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. Die Laughing.
I'm going to go Fest. I'm going to go Fest.
Go Fest?
Yeah. Like, where...
Is there a reason?
Old Moose Cotton.
Where do you bump into more of your very good friends?
Oh, God damn it.
Because for me...
He is tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like... If that's the context. Let's find out.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Question number one. Matt Alex or Tim Wick, who would be worse to play Naked Twister with? Oh.
Ah, Tim. Oh God, Tim. I can't Tim even. I can't. Tim. No, I don't know. I do not know the answer to this, you guys.
No, it'll be Tim.
I think.
Oof.
I think it would be Tim, and but I've got to give
you a history of rewinding.
Oh, son of a bitch! Here's the thing: is that so? Like I said, both Tim and Matt are like family type people
right.
to me. Matt's like a brother. The idea of him naked in any context is gross. But Tim is a little bit older.
Yeah.
And so he was kind of more mentory, older sibling type.
So it's a choice between
thing.
Your brother and your dad?
Kind of. Like, not really a dad thing. Like, the younger uncle, like the young fun uncle, but still...
Oh.
Right, like, I'm like, I think I made the right call with Tim. I'm just...
Way to make it an awkward, uncomfortable question even worse.
Right.
That's...
I just want you all to feel my awkwardness and uncomfortableness as you have made me choose between which family member I want to play Naked Twister with. And the answer is none.
Is it
none
still
of
Naked
them.
Twister if the skin crawls off my body?
Oh.
I mean, then it's super Naked Twister.
Oh, God. That's well... Then that's Meat Twister. How do you feel now?
Yeah.
Just visualize it, James. Picture it.
No,
it's like
no, Meat Twister sounds like a distant cousin of the Titty Twister, and I don't.
It's not going anywhere
good.
It's like Meat Boy in Twister form, and there's little saw blades every once in a while.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Look at that inside out face. Oh, yeah. Love it. Kiss it. Caress it.
Oh, Jenna, you're a delight.
I'm not sure delight is the word you were looking for there, but I'll take
it. It's the word I'm using. I can only frown so hard.
Frown harder. Frown harder. Frown harder, Jenna.
That was a great movie with Leslie Nielsen.
What? I don't even know.
No.
What?
Frown hard. No.
Frown hard?
It's not a thing.
No, that's...
It's Spy Hard.
Fuck are you talking... God damn it,
Weird
Jim.
Out to the theme song.
No. What? What? No. No.
What's our next question?
Fucking... I don't know. Salsa's working on a thing.
He is.
You should keep working on the thing.
No, yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to actually pause in our fast spot. Okay, he's back. Okay. Go. I got you for the next
one. I already said that one. Tim was worse.
Yep.
Okay, right. Question number two. Duck Washington or Kelvin Hatley? If you were stuck on a deserted island, who would you want to be stuck with?
Duck. I feel like Duck was maybe like a Boy Scout or something. Like, I feel like it would take me more time to kill Kelvin. Because I think, like, Kelvin would just go with whatever I said, but I feel like I'd have better survival chances with Duck.
Yeah.
Like, a guy knows his shit, yo. Like, that's just...
That's a difficult choice.
Right.
Because I would kill and eat Kelvin.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's helpful.
But I would die and, like, I would gladly sacrifice myself to be cannibalized if it were... Duck Washington's life.
I wouldn't.
No?
No. No. I mean, I like him a lot.
Just going to go Lord of the Flies?
Fucking. Look, I'm a mom and he's not. So.
That's fair.
I'm just going to whip out that I still got technically a couple months left of raising a thing. So, yeah. What? They're raising a kitten? I don't know. Like, what do you want to call it? I could say kid or brilliant young adult, but...
Right.
Anyway, so I am going to pause in our Fast Five now, because there's a thing that we have not yet done. Mm-hmm. And we probably forgot.
No, I...
Because we are not caffeinated enough.
I remembered. I just didn't have the energy.
Oh, that's a shame. You know, you know what gives you energy? Caffeine.
That too.
I
was thinking sleep.
When
you can't sleep.
When you can't sleep, caffeine.
Yeah, let's say you have to be awake for 50 hours.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I do already have one of the jugs of cold brew just ready and waiting for this. For those who may not know what it is that we're talking about coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Glorious, glorious coffee, but not just any coffee.
True Stone.
The best coffee. Ideal coffee. Ooh, I like ideal coffee.
Yeah.
Ideal coffee for ideal people.
Or people with ideals.
Or the rest of us. I don't know. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, True Stone Coffee is a sponsor of this podcast, but we would not let them be a sponsor of this podcast if they were shitty, because that's how we roll. They are absolutely fantastic. I love... James just whipped out his shirt. He's taking clothes off for me right now, but he is wearing a True
Superman
Stone...
Superman style.
Yeah, he is wearing a True Stone t-shirt under 18 layers.
Uh-huh.
Does. We allow them to sponsor us, kind of.
We love them.
We have that connection with them because they're really fucking good.
Yeah.
I was a barista for years. I've worked in the coffee industry. They are my favorite coffee.
Mm-hmm.
They roast every bean to the level that it needs to be roasted for the most flavor. Which is not always, like, sometimes they're like, Colombian must be dark. No, I think they have a medium roast Colombian that is far superior to other Colombians that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go by what other people say. They have figured out what roast works best for their beans, and they do that, and it's incredible. Not only is it the best roast for the bean, James.
Yes.
It is the freshest roast.
Yes, indeed.
That you will get delivered.
How quickly?
How quickly, you say?
Yes.
You ask, even?
Yes.
The next day. Sometimes.
Dramatic guess.
Same day. So they will roast that bean, they will ship it out, and you will get it same or next day, which is about as fresh as you can get coffee delivered to your door.
And it gets delivered to my door?
To your door.
How will I know if it's mine?
Every package has your name on it.
Every package?
I believe so. I don't know. I kind of feel weird. I've never actually tested this. But yes, I believe it is. Every package has your name on it.
Yes.
No, when you order from wherever, but we recommend the website. TrueStoneCoffee.com.
TrueStoneCoffee.com.
You can order from there. They've got coffee. They've got other merchandise, hats, tulips, glasses,
Yes.
All sorts of wonderful swank stuff. The cold brew, which we talked about earlier, which is amazing, which will get us through Die Laughing.
Uh-huh.
So order from the website, and they might be able to save some money.
How would they save money if they wanted to do that?
They would use the promo code.
Apropos?
But it's pronounced apropos.
Okay. But it's spelled apropos.
Yeah.
Use the promo code apropos at checkout. Save yourself 10%. Spend 10% more. Wait. Spend the same amount for 10% more.
There we go.
That's what I was looking for. Look, get the most bang for your buck. Use the promo code apropos. Order yourself some delicious coffee because you deserve it.
Yeah.
You know what? You deserve the best coffee. That is what True Stone has.
You need it.
You need it.
When you need something, that's a responsibility.
Look, you've got to take care of yourself. You know, they keep talking about this self-care thing.
Uh-huh.
Where you take care of yourself and you know, sometimes it's pampering. Sometimes it's like actual legit, like showering is a self-care thing because you got to do that. And it's good for you.
Salsa.
But, yeah, that was a look. but
I shower once a year, whether I need it or not.
God damn it. With the filth hose, we know. We talked about this already.
I just wish he wouldn't keep his thumb over the end, partially.
Goes everywhere. Oh my god, it reminds me of my childhood. Summers and the filth. Okay. Oh my god, I'm sorry, True Stone. This plug has gone horribly awry, and I apologize.
It would go so much better if we'd had some True Stone.
It really would be. We should go make some now.
As soon as we're done.
As soon as we're done.
Yeah. So, True Stone coffee.
Push number three. Yes. Porter or Saint Man of the Destroyer?
Okay.
Which former frequent guest would you want as a roommate?
Porter.
Porter. He's got scotch.
He's got
a lot of scotch.
I also know each of their living habits to a certain extent, and sure. I'm pretty sure I would toss Mana's half-finished projects across the floor. Whereas Porter, I would be able to point and be like, "Come here and pick up your shit." And he doesn't sprawl as much.
I
really
wouldn't feel bad being as dickish, like blunt.
Right.
To Porter, yeah.
Also, scotch.
The fucking dishes. Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
I can imagine myself saying that.
He keeps things relatively tidy.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like super Mr. Clean or anything like that, but he keeps his messes in a specific spot.
They both seem relatively tidy. Yeah. But I could imagine myself being more relaxed with roommate conversations. Yeah.
Sure. I can see that.
Yeah.
Salsa.
Porter. Okay, question number four. Terry Foy or Carr Hagerman, who do you think would make a better cross-country vacation partner?
Terry Foy. Oh my Terry god, Foy. Terry Foy. Here's the thing. Like, I've known both of them since I was a kid. But I have hung out more with Terry Foy on a one-on-one basis.
Yeah.
And fucking, if shit got real or got weird or anything, like, I feel like Terry Foy has the right kind of social graces to fit my personality.
Okay.
To where we'd be able to work through that. Whereas I feel like if things got weird with Carr, like, our personalities are very... I have some very kind stories about Carr. And I like him as a person and everything. But our personalities are just, they don't line up right.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I've got a good Carr story after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I would get more frustrated and possibly more likely to kill Carr than I would Terry Foy. I'm going to go with Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose Carr on a desert island practical basis.
Sure.
Because not knowing Terry outside of the Fest environment.
Okay.
If we got into a tight spot financially or something legally, something like that, I have every faith that Carr would be able to handle that. Yeah.
No, he would totally be able to figure out what legal things need to happen for what. Like, he's got that.
Yep.
I feel like Terry's got a good idea too, but
sure. And like
with you not knowing, like, I think that's a solid choice.
Yeah.
Totally.
Either one of them, I think, would be a solid.
Also, can you picture a cross-country trip with spoonerisms?
Yes, I can.
And it's the best thing ever.
It is the best thing ever. Yee! Also, I've worked with his wife a lot, Lolly. And I want him to bring her.
If that's an option. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Although Carr's wife is a sweetheart and a half, too, and I adore her immensely. God damn it.
Carr has good puppies.
Ooh, puppy Carr.
I mean, puppy there's that. Carr. Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. Salsa.
Terry Foy. Question number five. I'm sorry. We have a situation.
Yeah. Don't apologize. We'll apologize.
Question number five. Die laughing or first weekend of Fest? Happy Groundhog's Day. Which event would be more hellish to relive over and over again? Die laughing. Die laughing.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Well, what I will say is that first day of Fest... Nope. Is it first day or first weekend? Okay, first weekend of Fest is 2 days.
Make it stop.
Where it would be 50 full hours. Wow, though. I'm going to say... yeah, Die Laughing would definitely be the harder one for me. Well, Jenna's done for the day.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You made Jenna cry, Mud.
So good on you.
Well then,
Salsa's been trying to do that for years.
Yes, we should get out of here. We're gonna get out of your ear holes now. You should go to dielaughingmarathon.com, and you should make all of the donations. You don't have to. I mean, by all means, please watch the live stream. But it is gonna be fucking early in the morning. So, except for people in Australia, Katie. But otherwise, it'll be really fucking early. And so, to make things easier, we have given you the ability to pre-order our punishment. And then you should watch it and give us more punishment because we deserve it. And then you should also go to truestonecoffee.com and you should buy a lot of coffee. And then you should eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye.
Night. Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.